to the scattered children of Jacob all over the world, who are the Anglo-Saxon peoples of the chosen seed of Abraham and Isaac, greetings in the name of Yeshua Christ, and may His divine influence be with you. This is part one of all the verses on saved. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Saved is found in the Word Studies menu. The word saved is another misunderstood word, along with salvation and deliverance. The common definition in all three is preservation. Preservation in this life, during this mortal life. This life is our test, our trial, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. The churches teach, once saved, always saved. They also teach that by your own declaration, you get to choose to be saved, as if it were up to you. They also teach the gospel of personal salvation. None of these are scriptural and are only church doctrine. Scripture teaches that we are preserved through Christ if we follow the way, His laws and commands, have true knowledge and understanding, and live righteously according to our heritage. The Scriptures teaches that He chooses. Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And rather than personal salvation, the Scripture teaches the gospel of the kingdom, national socialism. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of Adam, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, You shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. The wicked are the wicked and unrighteous Israelites. Yahweh is telling Ezekiel to warn the wicked of his race to turn from their wicked ways. Verse 19, Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when the righteous, or the lawful, man turns from his righteousness, or turns from what is right, or the law, and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, or the righteous acts, which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at your hand. It is our duty to warn our brethren to turn from their wicked ways and from false doctrine. When we follow the way, we are preserved in this life. When we do not follow the way, we are exposed to the calamities of being mortal and without protection. Ezekiel 33:12. Therefore, you son of Adam, say unto the children of your people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turns from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sins. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he has committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, You shall surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge and repay that he has robbed, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he had committed shall be mentioned unto him. He has done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of your people say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. It's very simple. Past righteousness does not clear present or future sinning. Past sins do not count against present or future righteousness. Claiming you are saved is the same thing as swearing, vowing, promising, or making an oath, all of which we are not to do. Why? Matthew 5:34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. It's not up to you to declare yourself admittance into heaven. Claiming you are saved is putting yourself as your judge, your deliverer, and your rewarder. Scripture teaches that Yahweh calls whom he will, that Yahweh chooses whom he will. If you follow his commandments and live according to the way, and as one who is a true Christian who knows his heritage and duty, then he might choose you. This life is a test. He chooses who passes and who fails. Claiming you are saved is like the parable of the foolish virgins. The foolish ones thought they were saved and did not trim their lamps and were found in the markets of the beast system. Claiming you are saved is like the parable of the man with two sons whom said, go work in my vineyard. One said no, but repented and went afterward. The other said yes, but went not. Those who are saved do not guard and follow the law or the Christian heritage. Claiming you are saved is like the parable of the barren fig tree. It is fruitless. False doctrine and the spread of it does not produce good fruit. It only fills ditches with souls. Not every verse with the word saved mean the same thing. Do the churches, or does anybody, get to choose which verses mean they are saved? Do they even know there are over 15 different words in the Hebrew and the Greek that can mean saved, but not the meaning they want it to mean? Below are Bible references related to how to get saved from the King James Version by Revelance. This is basically the one-liners which the churches build their doctrine on. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There you have it, the magic words. Do I click my heels three times, too? The churches are one-versers. They probably didn't catch the following verses, which state that they have not obeyed the gospel. Even Isaiah said, who has believed our report? The one-versers must not realize that the gospel is connected to the Old Testament prophecies and includes the commandments, statutes, ordinances, promises, covenants, blessings of obedience and curses of disobedience, and that it's all to and for the children of Israel only, and they probably don't know the name of the Lord, or that the Lord is actually a title and refers to Baal or Baal. The next verse they use is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. If the one-versers read the whole Bible, they would understand that we, flesh and blood Israelites, are his workmanship, that the gift of grace was only promised to the children of Jacob, Abraham's seed, and that grace actually means compassion and loving commitment, which Yahweh shows us when we show it to our kinsmen. The one-versers would also understand that faith means loyalty or allegiance. It's not a belief, it's a behavior. The one-versers also believe the law was done away with and we don't have to do good works. Can they even read the verses they do? Because it says that they should walk in them, meaning their works, which, if they walked in good works, they would be following the law. The next verse they use is John 3, 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If the one-versers studied the original word meanings, they would understand that Nicodemus said born again. Christ said born from above. Two entirely different words and meanings. Yahweh's literal children are born from above into the Adamic white race through the child birth sac of water. The devil's children are born from below into the mixed raced and satanic Jew, who teaches our people the opposite of what Scripture says. Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, there you have it again, the magic words. All you have to do is say them out loud. These one-versers don't even read these verses together. As the article states, the verses are in order of relevance. They've avoided the verses that say to obey. But Yahweh knew back then, just like today, how ignorant and fake his people can be. Isaiah 29:13, Wherefore Yahweh said, For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the precept of men. Matthew 15:8, This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark 7:6, He answered and said unto them, Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. John 14:15 says, If you love me, keep my commandments. The next verse they use is John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Again, leaving out the rest of the context, these one-versers' heads will spin if they were to try and understand this. Let's analyze. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The first own is a neuter plural. The second own is a masculine plural. The first own designates something material, his native land. The second own refers to people, the people of that land. At that time, those would consist of his people, Israelites, and also include Canaanites and Edomites. Verse 12, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The middle clause is the problem. Deuteronomy 14:1 reads, "You are the children of Yahweh your Elohim." Luke 3:38, "Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of Elohim." Acts 17:28, "For in him we live, and move, and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." The people of Christ's native land that received him are Israelites, his kinsmen. They are already sons of God through the race of Adam, hence offspring. In verse 12, power comes from the Greek word that means authority, and to become means to come into being, to attain. What is being attained? Those things that Christ is. The apostles got a taste of what it was like to attain what Christ is. Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Luke 10:17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Teacher, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you." Verse 13, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The word blood should be plural, bloods. All the older manuscripts have bloods in the plural. Hosea 4:2, "Cursing and lying and murder and theft and adultery abound in the land, and they mingle blood with blood." This is referring to race mixing. Yahweh demands we remain pure and undefiled. Now let's look at the Greek for the correct translation of verses 11 through 13. "He came into his own land, and the men of the country received him not. But as many who received him, he gave to them the authority which the children of Yahweh are to attain to those believing in his name, not those from of mixed origin, nor from of desire of the flesh, nor from the will of man, but they who have been born from Yahweh." The next verses the churches use is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The one-versers love this one. When you just sit in your pew on the day of the sun god and let the blind dog in the pulpit tickle your ears with a Happy Meal sermon, you don't understand that the word world does not mean the globe. It means the society, the system, the dwelling place. Yahweh does not love this satanic, brainwashed, apostate society. He loves his Adamic society when it follows the way, which it did occasionally. The days of David and Solomon, Ezra and Nehemiah, when the white nations of Europe were being settled by migrating Caucasian Israelites, and America, when it was founded as a white Israelite Christian nation under Yahweh. If the one-versers would put down their pork sandwich and study, they would understand that only begotten means best loved or fulfilled, and that Christ not only is our God and Savior, but he is our kinsman Redeemer as well. The one-versers would understand that whosoever means each of a group, meaning Israelites. They would also understand that Jesus didn't come for everybody. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The one-versers don't understand that the sacrificial rituals were what was done away with. The laws, instructions, and commandments of Yahweh are still in effect, even the food laws. The previous verses show that belief in Jesus must also include obedience to his laws. The verses following state that through the belief, not any of the 33,000 other beliefs, but by the belief and repentance, past sins are remissed. People claim they got saved. From what? Sin still abounds, and they aren't perfect or free from sin. That's what Christ is our high priest for, to come to him when we've sinned and to ask for forgiveness. And we must change our ways and continue in righteousness. This life is a continuing test. Nobody's saved yet. 1 Peter 3:18-22. For Christ also has suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which at one time were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Noah wasn't saved. He and his family and some animals were preserved through Yahweh's judgment upon the land, which was filled with wickedness. They also use John 3:1-5. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Again, the one-versers don't read the whole context, and this one they claim verse 5 again. Nicodemus used the word deuteros, which means again, or a second time. Jesus used the word anathen, which means from above, or from the first. Jesus also scolds Nicodemus because being a teacher of Israel, he should know better. Another verse they use is Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Cool, thanks for the info. Where do I get my rapture ticket? The one-versers probably didn't read the rest of the verses that go with this one. Sinners show bad fruit, and those who are servants to righteousness show good fruits. But when these one-versers get saved, where did they make the change which shows good fruits? Did they change their sinful ways? Did they do some house cleaning? Did they get rid of TV? Did they stop eating pork and catfish? Do they know who they are and whose they are now? Do they now understand Scripture? Are they observing the Sabbaths and feast days and fasting? Besides now spreading this untempered satanic false doctrine to others, did they change anything about their life? No. Instead of being an ignorant pagan, they are now an unwitting, ignorant pagan, Jew-loving Antichrist supporter of falsehood. How about Romans 10:10? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. and again. Split up verses and context. These verses are connected to obedience of the gospel, doing the law which is written on the heart, believing what Yahweh said, what Yahshua taught, and living it. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Unlike the one-versers, Martha and those Israelites knew that Yahshua was their kinsman redeemer. They knew their history and heritage, and knew that this was he. These people did not just believe, they followed the way. The one-versers today have no idea that many of them are Israelites, and that they do not know or keep their heritage. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. The one-versers again show their shallow understanding, which, when they dive in to this false doctrine, they break their stiff necks. There is no salvation in any other than Yeshua Messiah. But the one-versers think that salvation comes from Haimi Jesus, and their own declaration. Christ is the head corner. He is the stone which is scorned by Jews and all the other 33,000 so-called Christian denominations. They are the ones claiming to do mighty works and call upon his name. But he is not a Jew, and he does not want your untempered filthy mortar all over his works. That is why he will say, Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You will be to him as a marred girdle, dirty rotten underwear, profitable for nothing, and he will spew you out. Now let's examine the person who gets saved. They were convinced that they must accept Jesus into their heart and say it out loud with their mouth, accept that they are a sinner, and to repent and ask for forgiveness from their sins. Then they get baptized and now claim they are saved and believe nothing will take that away. So now, naturally, you would think a change would occur. Something should be different. They were living their life as a sinner, knowing really nothing about Scripture, who they were, and who God is. But now they are saved. They go to church and listen to the preacher's sermons. Maybe even read their Bible sometimes and tell others how to get saved, too. Sounds like the good Christian thing to do, right? Wrong. But how can you say that? Because it's the truth. What the churches and all these saved people are doing is the devil's work, and they don't even know it. Please, let me explain. We are examining the saved person. What has in reality and in fact happened to this person is they are now participating in the daubing of untempered mortar. Ezekiel 13:10. Because they, referring to the Jews, false prophets, pastors of the 33,000 denominations, and ignorant preachers, have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and you, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, Where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Meaning, where are the teachings and doctrines that you said was truth? Therefore, thus says Yahweh Elohim, I will even rend it with a stormy wind of my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall, or doctrine, that you have daubed with untempered mortar, and shall bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, meaning the doctrine and the 33,000 denominations, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall, or the doctrine, is no more, neither they that daubed it. Neither they that daubed it. That means all who accept any other doctrine other than Yahshua's doctrine will be no more. And Judeo-Christianity and every other version of so-called Christianity will be no more. How saved do you feel now? Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and strengthened the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way, by promising him life. Promising life through the false doctrines of personal salvation, declaring yourself saved, escaping tribulation and trial in the rapture, to just believe, and to be tolerant of God's enemies and love them, even give them jobs. By promising peace through universalism and multiculturalism, promising the other races that they can share in the covenants and promises Yahweh gave only to his people, the Adamic race, the Israelites of Jacob, who are the Anglo-Saxon white nations of the world today. This is us, our heritage, our inheritance. Everything these apostate religions promise everybody is a lie. Yahweh wrote his law upon our hearts. Our spirit, or DNA, is in our blood. But our minds are weak. We have been programmed to think with fleshy minds and not our spirit. Ezekiel 22:28, and her prophets have daubed them, meaning daubed our minds, with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto us, saying, thus says Yahweh Elohim, when Yahweh has not spoken. Something that is untempered is not stable, not durable, not strong. It's unseasoned. It's whitewash. Remember when Christ called the Jews whited sepulchres? Matthew 23:27. Woe unto you, Jewish scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness. The untempered mortar is the foolish, false doctrine of the false prophets, preachers, and shepherds. When they build their doctrines, the foundation is a lie. It's false, foolish, vain, not from Yahweh. The daubers are the people that believe and follow these ungodly prophets and preachers, and mimic the Jewish brainwashing that is constantly in all the entertainment and media because they control it all, adding foolish plaster to the foundation that the false preachers built, supporting it, spreading it, practicing it, living it. Now this person who just got saved went from being a sinner to a twofold child of Gehinnom, because now they are educated in a false Antichrist doctrine and now worships and calls upon a Jewish Jesus and is daubing that mortar everywhere they go. Matthew 23:15. Woe unto you, Jewish scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. This is why it is important to study, to ask Yahweh to reveal the scriptures to you. He knows if you will respond to his word. He will send his Holy Spirit to decode the message for you and you will understand them more perfectly. This is a full study in order to learn the truth of what being saved is. Scripture teaches that we are preserved by obedience and walking in the way. Scripture teaches that God chooses who will be saved or preserved. Scripture teaches the gospel of the kingdom. The definitions of saved go as such from the Webster's 1828 dictionary. Saved, preserved from evil, injury, or destruction, kept frugally, prevented, spared, taken in time. Save, to preserve from injury, destruction, or evil of any kind, to rescue from danger, as to save a house from flames, to save a man from drowning, to save a family from ruin, to save a state from war. Salvation is the act of saving, preservation from destruction, danger, or great calamity. Preserve means to keep or save from injury or destruction, to defend from evil, to uphold, to sustain, to save from decay, to keep in a sound state, as to preserve fruit in winter. Salt is used to preserve meat, to season with sugar or other substances for preservation, to keep or defend from corruption, as to preserve youth from vice. Preserved means saved from injury, destruction, or decay, kept or defended from evil, seasoned with sugar for preservation. Preservation means the act of preserving or keeping safe, the act of keeping from injury, destruction, or decay, as the preservation of life or health, the preservation of buildings from fire or decay, the preservation of grain from insects, the preservation of fruits or plants. When a thing is kept entirely from decay or nearly in its original state, we say it is in a high state of preservation. These definitions from the dictionary have nothing to do with being saved, as the churches teach. They all are defining preservation of life, physical things, protection, safety, keeping safe. Now let's examine the scriptural definitions from the Hebrew. H 24:21, kaya, a verb. It means to live, literally or figuratively, to revive, to keep alive, to give life, to nourish up, preserve alive, quicken, recover, repair, restore to life, be whole, to continue in life, remain alive, to sustain life. Every verse with H 24:21 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him and the way in which he instructed us to live and be saved. Live, be revived, restored, made alive, made whole, recovered, repaired, and preserved. Salvation. This one is special in that it is the name of our Savior. Jesus is not his name. Jesus does not mean anything. The letter J is only about 500 years old. Yeshua is the name of our Prince. Yahweh is the name of our God. Yahweh means I am. Yeshua means salvation, as the definition reveals. Yah is God, and Shua is salvation. What do you think you're saying when you say Hallelujah, praise Yah, or Yahweh? Praise Yahweh for Yeshua, our preservation. H 34:44, Yeshua. It means something saved, that is, deliverance, aid, victory, prosperity, deliverance, health, help, salvation, saving, welfare. Every verse with H 34:44 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him and his example, and you will have health, deliverance, prosperity, victory, and salvation, which is preservation. H 34:67, yasha, is a verb. It means to be open, wide, or free. By implication, to be safe, to defend, deliver, help, preserve, rescue, be safe, bring salvation, or get victory, to save from moral troubles. Every verse with H 34:67 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him and according to his commandments, and be helped, rescued, delivered, saved, preserved. There is no savior or preserver besides him. H 34:68, yesha, a noun, and it means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, salvation, rescue, victory. Every verse with H 34:68 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him, the God of our preservation. H 44:22, malat, a verb. It means to escape, or to release, or rescue, or bring forth, or deliver, let go, preserve, save, to be delivered. Every verse with H 44:22 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him, his commandments, the way, and escape danger, be delivered, be preserved. H 53:37, natsal, a noun, means to snatch away, defend, deliver, escape, pluck, preserve, recover, rescue, deliver from enemies or death, deliver from sin and guilt. Every verse with H 53:37 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him and his ways and be delivered, rescued, taken out, ridden or plucked from danger, preserved. Deliverance is preservation. H 81:04, shamar, is a verb. It means to hedge about, that is, guard, protect, attend to, take heed, keep, mark, observe, preserve, regard, reserve, save, wait for, watchman, to keep guard, to keep oneself from. Every verse with H 81:04 has to do with preservation. Guarding, protecting, keeping, heeding the laws of Yahweh, the way, and our heritage will preserve you in this life. H 86:68, teshua, is a noun and means rescue, whether personal, national, or spiritual. Deliverance, help, safety, salvation, victory. Every verse with H 86:68 has to do with preservation. Saved means preserved. Follow him and have victory, help, deliverance, safety, and preservation. Many will say, but that's the Old Testament. Well, the Bible is one book about one race. It's the heritage, history, covenant, and promises laws and instruction for our people, the race of Adam, which is the white race of Yahweh born from above into Adamic flesh. This life is our testing ground to prove if we will follow our Father and Elohim, not to claim we are saved and sit back and wait for the rapture. We will cover the Greek words and meanings when we get to the New Testament. As we can see, the common definition of the Old Testament Hebrew is preservation. We are preserved in this mortal life if we abide in His ways, laws, commandments, statutes, judgments, and ordinances. Nobody is saved yet, and especially not by your own self-declaration. We are not once saved, always saved. Anyone can go back on their word. Only Yahweh keeps His word. Our preachers have been lied to and have been taught this false doctrine, and now they teach that same false doctrine to you. It's called untempered mortar. You can find it in Ezekiel chapters 13 and 22. Paul even knew he wasn't saved. Here are some examples that being saved, as in once saved, always saved, is not scriptural. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. 2 Corinthians 10:18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Master commendeth. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Hebrews 4:8-10. For if Yeshua had given them rest, then he would not have after spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest to the people of Elohim. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. The people don't have the rest that they think they do. Did they stay in the period of peace and obedience in the Promised Land? No. What about our people today? No. Hebrews 6:4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of Elohim and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of Elohim afresh and put him to an open shame. Once you learn the truth, meaning gain knowledge and understanding, and fail to uphold it, then you are liable to be condemned. If they shall fall away, sure sounds like once saved, always saved, is not backed up by Scripture. Philippians 3:12-14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Yeshua. Apprehended means to lay hold of, obtain, attain, seize upon, take into one's self. Brethren, I count not myself to have obtained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before or ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Christ Yeshua. Why press toward the mark if you are already saved? 2 Peter 1:9. But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Repentance and preservation is an ongoing thing in this life. Old sins are past sins. How can you be saved if the kingdom has not arrived yet and sin still exists. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Prince and Savior, Yeshua Christ, they are again entangled in the pollutions of this satanic society, and overcome by deception, evil, and false doctrine, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. If Paul understands that being saved is not a one-and-done deal, how can today's churchgoers declare that it is? We should not be so sure or arrogant of ourselves, proclaiming, "Oh, I'm saved." Being saved is an ongoing thing. That's why the real meaning is preserved or preservation. It has to do with this mortal life. We must continue imitating Christ's example. Preservation is an ongoing thing, something we must practice daily, living according to the way. We are preserved when we obey His laws, love our brethren, and participate in building the kingdom. How about these verses referring to the Old Testament sacrificial rituals? Hebrews 10:1. For the law of the rituals, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which the priesthood offered year by year, continually, make those coming forth thereunto perfect. People cannot become perfected by offering sacrifices. Christ prefers obedience. People today cannot become perfected by declaring, "I'm saved." Christ wants you to prove your obedience daily and with endurance. Verse 2, for then would the sacrifices not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. When the people sinned, atonement was necessary. The atonements the priesthood made for the people were only for that year. The true meaning is that it was a propitiation, a covering over of sin. Even back then, there was no such thing as once saved, always saved. You still sin every day. No one is saved yet. Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It was a temporary atonement meant to teach repentance and continued obedience. Only the sacrifice of Christ could cleanse sin, but not future sin, unless repentance and obedience are practiced daily. In the Old Covenant, the people sinned daily, and atonement was made continually by the priesthood. With the Better Covenant, people still sin daily, but we must continually make atonement by ourselves and for ourselves through the repentance and remission of sin to Christ, because it is the priesthood and the rituals that expired or were done away with when Christ died and became our high priest and mediator. No more blood sacrifices or priesthood to do it for you. Still think you're saved? Joshua 24:20. If you forsake Yahweh and serve strange gods or false doctrines, or Haimi Jesus, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He had done you good. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understand. There is none that seek after Elohim. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. None of us are saved, but if we seek Yahweh, and not by just believing, but by doing, practicing, learning, obeying, then we will be preserved in this life. None of us are righteous, and therefore none of us are saved. Since there are over 1,600 verses on saved, all of them having to do with mortal preservation through obedience. Only a handful from each book will be demonstrated. Not one meaning of saved has anything to do with being, declaring, or getting saved, as the churches teach. The churches are just repeating lies and false doctrine. We will continue in part two and start with the verses, starting with Genesis. Praise Yahweh, and may the divine influence be with you.